You're the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari, Season 1, Episode 19. Hi, I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to the Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari. This podcast is based on a simple truth. Who you surround yourself with matters. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari will interview thought leaders from all walks of life who will share how they leverage peer advantage and show you how engaging your peers more purposefully can hold the key to greater success in business and in life. Today's guest is Ryan Folan. Ryan coaches leaders worldwide on the art of simplifying spoken and written messaging for greater impact. Ryan was recognized in 2016 by Inc. magazine as a top youth marketer, and in 2017 was named by Entrepreneur magazine as a top personal branding expert. Ryan Folan's company, Influence Tree, specializes in helping individuals discover, build, and grow their personal brands. He hosts the radio show Get Notified on KUCI and is a gifted speaker on the topics of communication and personal branding. Ryan Folan is also a sought-after TEDx host, having worked with TEDx UC Irvine, TEDx Santa Monica, and most recently, TEDx LA. We welcome Ryan to the show.
Ryan Folan, welcome to Year of the Peer. I've been waiting for this for many months now, so glad to have you on this program.
Hey, glad to be here. Well, you put the bait out there and you're like, let's do it. It went by. I was just more and more eager. So now we're here.
Excellent. Exciting. Hey,
I've been using your hashtag throughout the year as well. Hashtag Year of the Peer.
Thank you for that. Hey, so one of the things that I want to bring up is I think it'd be fun for our listeners to hear actually how we met. So on one hand, I live north of San Diego. Here you are in Orange County. Never knew each other until we were introduced just prior to going to Portugal when Miguel Diaz invited us to speak at a conference there at the ANJ conference. But a funny part about that was, we all had our independent conversations with Miguel when Miguel said, hey, wouldn't it be kind of fun to go take a run together? We'll get the speakers together. We'll all go for a little run. We'll tour the city and everything. And as I've told this story to people, I've said the only question that we forgot to ask Miguel was, how far are we going here? And I think for Miguel, he had run a half marathon like a couple weeks before. It was no really issue for him. But he didn't know us or our fitness levels or anything like that. He just like, bring your shoes and let's go. And so, as you remember, we meet at like 8 a.m. and then we're off and running, if you will. And so, of course, as you know, we ran close to 9 miles that day. So for you, right, because I know I used to run quite a bit, but I hadn't run anywhere near that distance in a long, long time. And if someone had told me at the beginning we were going for a 9-mile run, I'd have been like, hey, good. I'll meet you guys at breakfast. We'll hang out.
I forgot to pack my shoes, unfortunately. I totally forgot, right?
So, but what did you think about it? I mean, you had to even imagine when you finished that run. I mean, it was almost like a bit of pause, right? That like, I can't even believe we all did this together this morning, right?
Yeah, I felt that it was definitely a rocky moment. I remember running with Raphael as well. And in the end, actually just trying to do dun, 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 dun. And I think actually did a rocky scene with a few steps at the end, but it was nothing that I had expected, but it was because we were in a foreign land and we didn't know. And it's like, oh, let's run to the beach. We ran to the beach. Then let's run along the beach and then let's run back. And so I was definitely not expecting to run that long. And it had been years since I had run that long. And since I have run that long, I was a goaltender for 15 years of my life for hockey. And so my knees, those were my money makers, but they're a little bit old now. So it was because everyone else was there and nobody wanted to be the one that stopped that we all kept ourselves going.
So it would be fair to say, though, that left to our own devices, none of us would have by ourselves chosen to go out for a 9-mile run that morning, right?
That's not only fair to say, that's 100% correct. And I think Raphael was the same, had the same sentiment.
Oh, there's just no question. And yet I also felt like, yes, foreign land and all that, but there was a bit of us just not being worried about. We weren't counting miles. We weren't doing that stuff. We were just kind of chatting and doing our thing and just kind of cheering each other on. And it just, I think shows oftentimes what a group of people, you know, can do together. When those self-limiting beliefs, you kind of put those aside, and next thing you know, we go out and really did something that we're kind of pretty proud of. And not only that, it was a pretty good bonding experience for all of us too, considering we've all remained in contact since that.
Absolutely.
And I think the run was no small part of it, you know?
Right. And I do a stick figure drawing every day of something that inspires me. And that day I worked with you because you were mentioning, well, you know, friends make you, you can run farther with friends.
Yeah, right.
I've used that over and over, and it was fun how you used that as an example in your masterclass, and it was just very true. You don't know what you can achieve, and then when you're dealing with other people in a group, it's that group mentality that pushes you way further than you would have gone by yourself.
You know, the other thing too, because you do a lot of work with, you know, startups, whether it's through your work with Expert Dojo or whatever. And sometimes there's also, I think, an advantage to, you know, a little bit of ignorance is bliss, a little bit of, you don't know quite what you're heading into, but you do it anyway. And if you did know ahead of time, you might not have even tried it. But
absolutely,
because you didn't even know, you just kind of go forward. It's pretty amazing. I'm sure you've experienced that with a lot of entrepreneurs you work with.
Yeah, I would think if entrepreneurs really knew the challenges that they were going to face, they probably would second guess getting into it in the first place. That's why I've had so much fun, and it's invigorating working with college students when it's their first time at entrepreneurship. I mean, nothing can go wrong. They can all become Mark Zuckerberg, and it's just their one app away from dropping out of college, and it's an amazing source of energy. But once they get beat down and second and third times, then that builds character and that experience becomes their expertise. So it's a process, but there's a reason why most startups fail. But I think that if people really got into entrepreneurship with that in mind, it wouldn't have that same real meaning and impact for going through and actually putting the shoes on and running. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, sure. But it's another thing to put the running shoes on and actually run, because people don't realize they can do it until they actually try. And I think that's an analogous for a lot of things, whether it's sports, relationships, school, anything that you try.
So, you know, I want to obviously spend some time talking about your work with Influence Tree and personal branding and all, but whether it's with Expert Dojo or in a number of other ways, you do a lot for people who are trying to start their own companies and early stage companies, particularly on the communication front. And so I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that work, how that evolved for you. I mean, how did you get started in really being passionate about that and then taking the interest you have in it? Because I know you've had a great impact on a lot of people's lives. I mean, people talk to me about the fact that they've learned things from you and have been inspired by you in ways that I think have been really really, you should be really proud of.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. And I like to say that entrepreneurship is the golden ticket, right? But communication is the skeleton key. And the skeleton key is the thing that gets you into anything. And I really believe that just about every aspect of your life has to do with communication. In fact, I've got a buddy that talks about all the time, it's impossible to not communicate. Even if you're trying not to communicate, you're communicating that you're not communicating. And there's such a phenomenal amount of communication that happens through body language and through tone, not so much the words that you say. And this whole passion for me and communication really started at an early age, understanding that being a bit of a fast talker and not having any fear of speaking my mind, I was able to get away with a lot of stuff. And, you know, people would say that I was a skeleton key because I would talk my way into music concerts. I talked my way out of trouble. And I found that, you know, using my words, using my body, you can achieve more with less effort. And I was involved in, as a chief operational officer of a company where we were developing smartphone apps. And it was in a time when that was emerging. And you had to communicate sort of this new idea of what a tool would do, and each app became its own startup essentially, and then the app success was only as good as you could communicate the problem that the app solves. And I eventually got into the educational system at UCI, and I ran their undergraduate entrepreneurship program. And with the students that would come in, these same high energy students that I would talk about before, if you sit them down and you say, well, tell me what your idea is, you better be ready to relax for a minute, because they are just going to go, oh my gosh, this is my day and here's what I do. And it just goes like this and this. And after maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes, I would literally stop them and say, stop. I'm actually more confused than when you started talking. And you, the passion takes over. And sometimes people think that the more they say, the easier it is to understand, but it's not. The less you say, the more profound you are, because you let people listen and you let people compute. I always say that the more you talk, the less people listen, and the less you talk, the more people ask questions. And too often entrepreneurs are one-sided. It's like a broadcast. So I got into this habit and I said, well, if you could describe your business in the fewest amount of words possible, what would that look like? And then they go, well, it's this app does this, I hold it in, and it just, that didn't stop them babbling. So then I reduced it further and I said, well, could you explain to me just the problem that you're solving? And then they would go on. I would say, well, can you shorten that? And I eventually got into this habit of saying, I don't care what you do. I only care about the problem that you solve. And personally, I'm going to really, really, really like it and be interested if it's a problem that I have. So don't tell me what you do. Just tell me the problem that you solve. And all of a sudden, you would have people that get these aha moments to where they don't have to ramble on about the solution. If they communicate the problem that they're solving, then all of a sudden, the person who they're talking to, like me, I get interested. And if it's a problem, I would say, well, how do you solve it? And now we're in a conversation instead of a one-sided pitch. And over thousands of interactions with entrepreneurs, I developed a system that I call the 313. And it's this core methodology that allows anybody with any idea and a lot of work to narrow down communicating the whole idea into three sentences, and then one sentence, and ultimately three words. And this is something that I spoke in Portugal. This is something I've spoke internationally. People call me up for this, and I've become known for it. And it's so difficult to create this simplistic pitch, but there's nothing more powerful than that. And you know why I get so excited about it is, even if I'm not that interested in the idea or it's not applicable to me, to see an entrepreneur go from a 5 or 10 minute spiel to confidently communicating in an interactive process with somebody else, to see that other person get excited is phenomenal. And I've seen people that have raised money based on it, you know, buy in from new partners, because really you're selling a concept, and I help them package it in a way that they can sell it more effectively.
Well, one of the reasons that I felt too that you're such an important contribution to this series this year is because we can't really work very effectively with our peers if we can't communicate very effectively with one another. And I think the model that you have, you know, for communication is really powerful and really effective. I think you're also seeing how the peers influence one another, even in what you've seen in Expert Dojo, when you see all these people come together in one place and the energy that's created and, yeah, you know, the things that people learn are pretty extraordinary as well. Is there anything in particular, I don't know if there's any specific examples, whether it's from Expert Dojo or elsewhere, where you see this kind of peer-to-peer thing being particularly powerful?
Well, I think that Expert Dojo does a great job of creating community. And I think that you might not always think of peer influence when it comes to community, but really it is community at the end of the day. And when you're gathering individuals who are all motivated for the same core reasons, which is to build a successful business, and you put them in the same room, it just creates this energy. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you know what happens when the emails stop coming and your phone stops ringing, and then you start to question, what am I doing? What do I need to do next? And sometimes just being in an environment with other people who have their head down, that are getting emails, that are getting phone calls, it reaffirms for you to continue to jog, continue to run along with it. And especially if you're a solo entrepreneur, it's very hard to stay motivated. It's easy to get derailed. It's easy to hear the little negative voice in your head. It's easy to see a low bank account and forget about these high aspirations that you have. So what Brian and the Expert Dojo has done is, by creating this community, really helps to create this larger peer group, and then even smaller peer groups within that help with that motivation. I think motivation is a huge part of it.
You know, nothing you mentioned that too. It might be helpful if you took a second and just gave like a minute or so on Expert Dojo and what it is, just so listeners who aren't familiar with it know what it's all about.
Sure. So expertdojo.com if you want to find out more information. And Brian McMahon created basically an experiment where he brought people together, didn't charge them money, and got them to interact in a group together and watched how it worked. And what he found, and he did this in Santa Monica at a beautiful location, actually in a mall. And what he does is he holds multiple events, multiple training sessions, and has developed like a system for entrepreneurs to know what to do next. And I was just in DC with him yesterday at the Green Festival in DC, and we're talking with all these entrepreneurs. And it's not that they don't know what to do, it's that they don't know what to do first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And when you have limited time and limited resources, it's important that you're doing the right things first and the right things second. So they've taken and developed a structure to allow essentially an accelerated environment and an actual accelerator for startups to come and run together so they can run faster, knowing that there's certain things they need to do. Simple things like setting guidelines and rules for goals. And what are your numbers? What are you going to reach? How are you going to become accountable for those? And so at the end of the day, it's a training academy. And the Zen Dojo, dojo is a place of study for martial arts. And he has built it out of community, letting these individuals follow a certain structure to find success and as he says, you know, take back the American dream.
Nice. So with that, you know, I kind of look at the work you've done with Expert Dojo and your communication model, where you can help people really describe what they do in a way that's really engaging and gets people interested. I guess in my own way, I regard what you're doing right now as a managing partner of Influence Tree and personal branding to be, it isn't just about what you do, it's about who you are.
Yeah.
And who we are, I think, in a very, not just a professional sense, but very kind of holistically in terms of our own personal brand. So I just love that evolution. And I think you're kind of uniquely equipped to help people, you know, take that next step. So love for you to share kind of how that got started for you and what your vision for Influence Tree really is.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I believe that, you know, your business is useless if nobody knows who you are. And people want to do business with people at the end of the day. It's never been easier than ever to start a company. But it's the person behind the company that really creates the clout. So you have a business brand. Then you have your personal brand. And you want to find what you're focused on. You want to be known as an expert in a certain field. And then your startup or your company can have to do with that. I met a gentleman named Leonard Kim at a networking party at Keith Ferrazzi's house. And Keith Ferrazzi is an author, runs Green Life Ferrazzi Consulting,
sure.
A couple of great books. And his concept when he gets people to meet each other at his parties is not so much what you're doing, but what you need help with. And so at the time, I was trying to become a better writer. And at the time, Leonard needed some help with communication. So we connected, and we had very similar stories in sort of our evolution. If you start a company and the company fails, you have nothing. Then you start another company. And if that fails or tweaks, you have nothing. So we constantly see entrepreneurs that are reinventing themselves, going from zero, going through the whole process over and over. But the through line of all that is you as a person. And so if you own your own story and you use those experiences to build your expertise, then it doesn't matter if your company survives or fails or tweaks, because you're building your experience off of that. And so I really saw that the development of the personal brand was really the next level, because no matter what your business does, it's still you at the end of the day that people are going to be concerned with. And you can turn that failure into part of your story that then builds your character, that builds your experience, that builds your expertise, and you can come in that much hotter to the next startup or if you want to go to corporate, whatever you want to do. And more so than ever right now, leveraging your personal brand is going to help you grow your business. Because a lot of times we have this term that we call inbound branding, right? Not inbound marketing, but inbound branding. And we have people that come to us versus us having to reach out to them. And that's the ultimate goal, is being top of mind for your expertise. And it's so empowering to work with companies that come to us for branding help. And we say, look, we don't really want to focus on branding your company. We want to focus on you as a thought leader. And that's a big paradigm shift for some people, a lot of people actually. That, I think, is going to be the wave as we move forward, because people can see through companies, but you can see people at the end of the day. So we've developed a personal branding course. It's $99 a month, and it steps people through the exact steps, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then we have sort of a white glove high-end consulting where we do everything for you, and then somewhere in the middle, you can buy a couple hours of our time. But we see that as the highest impact that we can do for entrepreneurs is helping them build their personal brands, which then they can take these leads or be these thought leaders and then reverse engineer that into actual business for the company.
What do you think are some of the biggest things people do wrong when it comes to, you've got a lot of people out there, they may put a lot of content, they may be very consistent about it, they're across various platforms, they're pretty singular, and yet they don't really get the traction. What do you think is one of the biggest reasons for that?
The biggest mistake is they're trying to be more than one thing. That's the biggest mistake. They are trying to be multiple experts. You have to be an expert in one thing. Then you have to create content. Then you have to be consistent. Then you have to choose a platform. Another big mistake is that people will choose multiple platforms, spread themselves too thin, not get traction on any one of them. And then we talk about success stacking, where the little small victories that you get, you build upon those to stack successes. So you're not going to get these big pops. You're going to get the little stacks that you stack on top of each other.
Very interesting. No, that's good stuff. And you know, part of this too is really trying to engage and understand others and get them, you know, sometimes I'll try to, you know, with students that I've had in graduate programs, I said they're so worried about being interesting, they don't do a very good job of being interested, you know. And I think part of it too is, you know, reach out to some people who share in your space or you have some interest in, and show some interest in what they're doing, comment on what they're doing, engage them in a way where they might take an interest in your work because you've taken interest in theirs, you know, yeah. In many respects.
It's all about engagement. So we call that concept drafting. Find three people who have the iconic brand that you want, and then find them, follow them, engage with them, and use them as sort of a ramp. But people, when you engage with them online, believe it or not, they will engage back. Social media is not a broadcasting system. It should be a communication system.
So I've seen, and it isn't just because, you know, I didn't know you before Portugal and now, I actually paid attention to where your personal brand was, or my perception of it at least. As we know, our brands aren't what we say they are. They're what other people, you know, believe them to be.
Right.
But I've seen yours just really make a big leap forward. And for you, what do you think has been the biggest reason for that?
Doubling down on communication. I was classically trying to be known as a writer, known as a speaker, known as a this, known as a that. And I've just, the more I've narrowed my focus, the more my brand has risen. And I'm being sought out for specifically for this, the ability to help people communicate more effectively. And that is the single thing that has been the most significant for my growth. My content is around that. I'll speak around that. Anything that I do, it ties within that. So it's an empowering thing, but it's scary at first because you think that you're going to sort of miss opportunities, but you're really not.
Yeah, it is that whole thing that if you try to be all things to everyone, you're not going to mean nothing, you know, nothing to anyone, right?
I mean, right.
You know, you're just not going to be that person who they seek out. Well, you know, what's been interesting for me too is that other than obviously what happened in Portugal with Miguel, but you continue to do not just things here in the US, but internationally. I know you've got a couple of speaking engagements you mentioned to me that are out of the country, which, you know, seem to be pretty exciting opportunities that can not only extend the reach of your personal brand, but I think, you know, provide you with the kind of experiences that you now bring back, you know, to many of the people who you're working with today, in a way where you just continue to offer value, right?
Yeah. And I think a big part of that for me is setting that as a goal. This goal, the goals for this year was to race sailboats competitively and to speak internationally. Those are my two goals. So I'm now racing sailboats And I've got, I'm speaking at the Haitian Tech Conference next month in June. And then I'm in China in July. I'm talking with a gentleman in Brussels about helping them put on the first ever growth hacking conference there. I've got people that are courting me from Dubai to bring Leonard and myself over there to do a 2-day branding workshop. So again, that focus and then just real simple goals, putting that out there into the world has helped people know what it is that they can do to help me.
So if you could describe who the type of people are that you're trying to surround yourself with, where you can not only, they help make you better, you can make them better. What does that look like for you? As you're, you know, you meet people all the time, you know, so.
Yeah. And again, sticking to that core brand that I'm establishing, people who are in the communication field, people who are expert at communicating online and offline. So communication can be in writing form, it can be in speaking form, it can be visual form. And so seeking out individuals who also have expertise in that communication niche really helps me to build my contacts and grow exponentially. You would think that there'd be more competitive nature, right? Like, I'm not going to associate with other speakers or other communication people, but actually the contrary. Like, I've been able to find opportunities that I can bring people in, and it brings them in my inside team. And then now it's a very pay it forward model that I'm sure I'll be able to piggyback off of an opportunity that they have that they can bring me in. So it's an interesting point. I'm not going for a super diverse peer group. I'm going for people that are within that niche, because the same opportunities that I want are going to surface with them. And that for me is where I'm sort of doubling down on again.
Well, I think that's right. You know, oftentimes I think one of the metaphors I used in the, you know, in the Power of Peers was that if you want to go run a marathon, you want to hang around with people who want to do that, you know, because if you run around your neighborhood and tell people you want to do that, they'll look at you like you're out of your mind, you know, because the whole idea, they don't want to drive 26 miles, let alone run 26 miles. So those aren't likely the people that are going to help you really make anything happen in your life. And yet I think for you, you've kind of identified, you know, the kinds of things that you want to do, speaking internationally and racing sailboats, and you're, you know, picking peers that can be a positive force in helping you do that. So that's good stuff.
And an important part of that too is that I'm always learning. I mean, I'm going to continue to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. And if I'm not hanging around people that are smarter than me, then I'm not going to get smarter. It's your classic, you know, proximity, the power of proximity Tony Robbins talks about all the time. And so, you know, as I get more experienced, I'm more open to learning. And again, I think some people might think, well, I'm getting better, so I don't need that help. But I'm just, if not more than ever, really digging into improving my communication. Because the best way to be a better speaker is to speak more. And so every opportunity I'm out there, I'm not just saying, here's how to do it, but I'm up there doing it and I'm learning from it.
You know, what's interesting too about the people that you hang around with, and I know some of them, is they're not just, you know, focused on the singular topic area, but they're also the kind of people that share your sensibility about always being learners. And if you hang around with other people who are curious and who are always learning and don't believe that they know everything about everything or even about any single subject, I mean, it just makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I love to ask people when I meet them is, specifically, what is the one thing you need the most help with right now? And it's very surprising how many people can answer that question off the bat. And so I encourage people to know, what is the one thing you need the most help with right now, and make it specific. Because if you can answer that, you can attract people around you that can help you.
Nice. Well, I'm trying to, you know, get my dissertation finished. And if there's anyone out there who can help me make that happen, I'll be really excited to get that done and get it behind me. But anyway, look, actually, just a final thing. If you have any advice for people in terms of, you know, how to go about finding the kind of people they should surround themselves with so that they can, you know, I think oftentimes when you look at people who make New Year's resolutions, right, everybody fails at them pretty much. And largely it's because we can be really good at setting goals and not always surrounding ourselves with the kind of people who can help us achieve them.
Right.
So any thoughts out there for how to find those people who will help you do what you want in life, whether it's race sailboats or speak internationally?
Yeah, I've got two of them. One is use social media as a tool of connectivity, of connection, not distraction. I think too many times people don't look at social media as a tool to connect. And you'd be surprised how much information is about people that you can really learn about. Specifically trying to bring that online relationship offline. I think that that's so key. And the piggyback to that is one of the biggest pieces of speaking advice, of public speaking advice I can give, is to listen more. And it seems counterintuitive, but if you want to attract a peer group that's the highest level peer group, try to not talk as much and actually listen. Because so many times when you're taking up the space in a conversation with what you want to communicate or with what you're sharing, that's all time that you're not able to really learn about the people that you're meeting. So asking questions that get people to really share with you what they're all about is the best way to find the best people to surround yourself with. So the more you talk, the less people are going to listen. And the less you talk, the more conversation. And the more conversation, the more you can listen, and the more you can understand if this is a good person to have on your running team.
So you would tend to agree with this notion that there's a reason that we have two ears and only one mouth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, right. The less you, and it works better both ways, because if you're the person who just rambles off when you meet people and you're just talk, they might not want you as part of their group because they don't have a chance to chirp in. And it works in a twofold way, because if you speak less, you can listen more. And if you speak less, whatever it is that you say has a higher authority. You seem more profound. The less you say, the more profound you are. Right. So that's a good way to sort of filter out people around you in conversations. Don't be pegged as the guy that just keeps talking. Ask questions, listen. And then there's a really great study where they have two individuals, a series of individuals, talking to each other. And they're meeting each other for the first time. And they survey them after the fact. And I believe that the people who thought they were most connected were the ones that talked the most.
Yes.
And the people that didn't talk as much weren't connected as much. So if you want people to feel connected with you, let them talk.
You know, there's a lot of research around that with job interviews. You know, the idea that even when you are the interviewee, if you can ask really good questions and you can listen, because to your point, the person who speaks the most is the one who thinks the conversation went the best. So right. What you want is for the employer to feel that way. Obviously that's the huge piece of it. Also to Ken Blanchard, who's written over 50 books, most of them have been co-authored, and he's asked often, why did you co-author so many books? And he says, 'cause I know what I know. I want to work on something with someone where I get to learn what they know. And I right. think to your point, when we're always doing the talking, we always want to pontificate about whatever knowledge we think we may have. We're not learning anything in those moments. And, we have so much to gain from others. I said it has been such a, real delight and real pleasure for me to get to meet you in Portugal and for us to have maintained a relationship over time. I think we continue to provide each other value, and I know we'll continue to do that, just as with Raphael and Karen and all of the people that we kind of connected with just on that one trip. And I think right. the difference it's made, I think, has been really extraordinary. So grateful for that.
Hey, me too, buddy. I'm glad you're part of my peer group.
All right. Well, look, thanks again for being part of the show. Look forward to it. RyanFoland.com. And
yeah.
You want to look at what personal brand is all about, visit his website. So anyway, hey, thanks, Ryan.
All right, thanks, Leo.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Peer Advantage, to submit questions to Leo and our guest, and to subscribe to the Year of the Peer podcast, please visit us at leobattari.com. That's leobottari.com. This podcast is produced by me, Randy Cantrell. Hosted, of course, by Leo Battari. Music provided by Kevin McLeod, Vibe Ace. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.